You may be seated, and I want to direct your attention to the book of Proverbs, chapter 14. My subject this morning, America and our godly foundation. America and our godly foundation. That is what we have been celebrating this morning. Look at Proverbs 14:34. The Bible says, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The Bible says, happy is the people whose God is the Lord. The Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Bible has a lot to say about nations because nations are made up of people. And the truth of the matter is, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the Bible has a lot to say about people and nation. Knowing these truths to be self-evident are just plain old common sense. Our forefathers incorporated this into our Declaration of Independence. The Declaration of Independence states, and I quote, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal." Listen to this. "They are endowed by their Creator were certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness," end of quote. Our founding fathers, they recognize God as the Creator, and that all men are created equal. And we need to ban critical race theory in this nation, and we need to teach the Constitution, and we need to teach the Declaration of Independence. Our forefathers recognized God as the Creator, that all men are created equal. They recognized that all men have certain unalienable rights, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. If you kill little babies, guess what? There's no happiness to pursue. There's no liberty left. So we've got to get back to the foundational principles of the Word of God. An unalienable right is a right that is impossible to take away. It was granted to us not by our government, but it was granted to us by God Almighty, that we all have that right. And it's people and politics and people that want power that tried to take away these rights. But the forefathers of this nation incorporated certain truths into our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. So this nation began with an assertion of God's authority. Our first principle is that we are all created equal. We have unalienable rights with God as our Creator. My subject this morning, America and our godly foundation. Let us pray. Father, your word declares that if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Lord, help me today to answer that question as I preach the Word of God. Lord, take these thoughts, anoint them, let them be life-changing thoughts, heart-changing thoughts, because, Lord, there are people that are trying to strip away our liberties, but we know that this nation came out of your heart, was planted by your hand. So, God, bless America. And everyone said in Jesus' name, amen. I said earlier that the gospel can't go no further west than it's already gone. But you know where the gospel is? It began in Jerusalem. You know where it will end up? John said, I saw a new city coming down out of heaven as a wife adorned for her husband. Isn't that beautiful? So, and then the Bible says God will tabernacle among all men. So Jesus is going to split the eastern sky after he comes for his bride. He's going to walk through that eastern gate. I've been there. It's all blocked up right now. But Jesus is going to walk right through there. And then the new heaven and the new Jerusalem is going to come down and hover over earth. And guess what? God is going to come down and tabernacle among men. Paradise restored. Go and praise God for that. Hallelujah. But America was founded upon religious freedoms and upon religious principles. The basis of our Bill of Rights, it comes right out of the Holy Bible. Listen to Psalms 33:12. Look at it on the screen. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. It's something to be chosen. Jesus said, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. I've ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. I tell people, I said, I don't know why God chose me to preach. He passed over some people with a PhD, passed over some lawyers, some fine folk in the community. He reached way over into the cesspool of sin and iniquity, laid his hand upon me and said, I choose you. I tell people, I said, I wouldn't have chosen me, but God did. Maybe you feel like God wouldn't have chosen you, but God did, and you've been born again. And we have that freedom in this nation to preach the everlasting gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I look out among the audience. I see people that have been healed through prayer and the stripes laid upon Jesus' back. I see cancer patients that are redeemed. I'm looking at a miracle right now. Robert, you look mighty good, brother. Hallelujah. Robert's in church, gave his heart to Jesus. God is working on him. The doctors gave up on him. There he sits. Amen. Sister Janet Bradley sitting back there, healed of cancer. We got cases all over this place. And that's the power of the gospel. That's the power of the blood. And that's why this nation is so important. This last election was never about two individuals. It was about two platforms. A platform of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and righteousness exalts a nation, or a platform of socialism and open borders and all kind of foolishness, taking away your right. Stand up, America. Stand up in Jesus' name. Stand up and take this nation back to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's righteousness that exalts a nation. And America was founded upon godly principles. Don't let any Johnny come lately historian tell you otherwise. Don't let some socialistic person get in any position like we have the squad up there in D.C. I just go on and preach it. Is that all right with you? Hallelujah. My Lord and my God. Let's do what our forefathers did. Let's stand up for life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and let's take this nation back to the God on which it was founded in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, I studied economics. I'm a businessman. Socialism never has worked. It never will work. It's capitalism where people have the opportunity to start businesses. I stand and I look, I came out of poverty and I look at what God has done in my life. My wife told me just this morning, she said, Jerry, I just never thought we would have anything like this. That's the power of seed time harvest. That's the power of the gospel. That's the power of living right. That's the power of serving God. Goodness and mercy, they'll follow you everywhere you go. Hallelujah. There's anointing on this church. And if you'll come to this church, I promise you one thing. The anointing on this church, it will follow you home to your home. Hallelujah. Go and praise God for his goodness to us. God's been good to us. Hallelujah. So I ask you, why would our founding forefathers, what would they do if they were alive today? First of all, I believe in my heart of hearts, they would do what I'll do. They would do what you would do. They would pray. History proves that, because when they were faced with impossible odds, with enemy superiority, they faced impossible odds. They prayed. And they called God's people to prayer. I don't expect our present administration to do that today, because they are not concerned about righteousness. They're concerned with power. They're concerned with paychecks. They're concerned with political correctness. They have lost their equilibrium. But as the church, we don't need to lose our spiritual equilibrium. I believe the word of God. I believe in prayer. I believe that righteousness exalts the nation. And I know from experience that sin is a reproach to any people. Sin will take you down. The devil is a stripper. He's never done anything good. He will never do anything good. But our God is the God of ages. Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus Christ is his son. And the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And if we will do what we're supposed to do, God will answer our prayers. Go on and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God has given the keys of the kingdom to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Chronicles 7:14. You probably got it memorized. If you don't, you should memorize it. If my people, which are called by my name, we're called by the name of the above every name, Jesus. Hallelujah. We are Christians. We are to be Christ-like. Hallelujah. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn. That's some turning in this thing. Turn from that wicked way. God said, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. I want you to listen to this article that I found in WorldNetDaily.com. On June 12, 1775, the Continental Congress locked in deliberation. I mean, these people could write, couldn't they? We offered our joint supplications, that's just petitions, to all wise, omnipotent, and merciful disposer of all events. Wow, what a prayer. I'm telling you, they some eloquent words, aren't they? But they were educated men. That's what made this nation so great. They came to America, carved the nation out of wilderness. They brought their wives. They brought their families. When they went into South America, they picked up prostitutes along the way. Go read history and you'll find out what a great nation is. This nation was founded upon the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They brought their families. They built little churches. And the lady that taught Sunday school on Sunday, guess what she did? She taught reading, writing, and arithmetic Monday through Friday, and this nation became an educated nation, and that's what we need. We don't need to do away with our history. We need to learn from history. We need never make the same mistake again. Certainly we haven't done everything right, but look at her today. She still stands strong. She still stands tall. Go to the harbor of New York City and look at that Statue of Liberty. She's still there, and she's still proclaiming liberty, and it's up to us to take our nation back to God upon which it was founded. Hallelujah. You know, imagine what would happen if our Congress would follow the steps of our founders by calling on God to intervene in the important affairs of this nation. But instead, look at what our representatives have done. They have stood idly by. They've allowed federal judges to impose laws that are contrary to our Constitution. They have passed laws under the guise of separation of church and state. They've taken it and twisted that and made it into something it was never designed to be. All separation of church and states means is you cannot have a forced religion in this nation. But that does not change the fact that people came here to carve a nation out of a wilderness, and they did that with the help of God, established this nation on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so glad to be an American. I'm proud to be an American. I took out my book. I didn't tell my wife about it, but I took out my photos from Vietnam, and I looked at my buddies there. I looked at Ke Kahuna, he's from Hawaii. He died next to me. I looked at Sanchez. He's Hispanic. He was wounded next to me. I looked at Jose. He was wounded there. I looked at my buddies. Some of them made it out. There were no racial divides there. There were men trying to survive a war. We were counting on one another. And what I wasn't taught when I was growing up in this nation, I learned in combat that a man is a man, and he bleeds red blood, and there's no color line. There's no race line. We are one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. This is the greatest nation in the world, and people are trying to get here from all other nations, yet we got a bunch of mealy-mouthed politicians with no spine standing up out telling us about racism and telling us about critical race theory and trying to take our statues and our monuments away. That these things are important. They even took Ancient Mama off the pancakes. How ignorant can you get? Can't nobody cook like Ancient Mama and some of that good soul food. Come on now. Let's get real. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory to God. We got a bunch of idiots that we put up there in the White House, and we call it the House and the representatives, and they're supposed to be representing us. No, they're lining their pockets. They're representing themselves. The only person I know that ever has gone up there and come out with less money than he had when he went is Donald J. Trump. Amen. And they took billions from him. They still trying to impeach the man. He's not even president anymore. We got a bunch of nuts up there, lawmakers that have become lawbreakers. Rise up, America. Rise up, praise God. Rise up in courage. Rise up in strength. Rise up in the power of God. Rise up in prayer and take this nation back to God. Hallelujah. We become an ungodly, confused nation. Where men don't know if they're men and women don't know if they're women. We got transgenders. What kind of idiots are that? Same-sex marriage? My Lord and my God, they can never produce a child. God says, marry, propagate the species, replenish the earth, do something with what I've given you. Hallelujah. Make a difference. Stand up and change things. And you know what I learned? When you stand up to make a change and make a difference, God makes up the difference. He's a great God, and God loves this nation. People say, where's America in prophecy? Let me tell you where America is. We are the nation where the gospel base is. We have sown those mission dollars all over the world. This church does it every week of our lives. And guess what? We'll do a great harvest of souls. Whatever you sow, you reap. And so if we have sown into missions and into winning souls in other nations, guess what? We are due a great harvest of souls, a spiritual awakening. That's God's principle. Base your thinking on the Word of God. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And whether you like it or not, that's just the way it's going to be. Put Galatians 6 and 7 up there if you would. Hallelujah. Look at this. We are due a harvest. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now put the next verse up there. See, when I got saved, I said, God, what's wrong with my life? He said, son, you've sown bad seed. You have a bad harvest. And he said, if you'll sow to my word, I'll bless your life. And he asked, for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. That's all I'd ever heard preached out of that. If you sin, you don't win. But then God preached the other side to me. He said, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And God spoke to me and said, if you will obey my commandments, if you will sow to the Word of God, I will bless your life. And I've had the privilege to teach the principles of God and preach the Word of God to people in other nations, to preach it across this nation, to preach it as a lay evangelist. They didn't think enough of me to give me some credentials. Hallelujah. It didn't matter to me. God called me to preach. You've not chosen me. I've chosen you. I've ordained you. My ordination didn't come from the International Pentecostal Holiness Church, even though I am ordained. I have a doctorate degree. I'm working on another doctorate degree right now. I say, God, you got a big sense of humor that you would take a nobody, a nothing, and make them into a man of God with gifts of healing. Look at the miracles we see in this place. Look at the people that are saved in this place. That's all God. God chooses the foolish things to confound the wise. Hallelujah. He chooses the base things to exalt those that are lowly and to carry them somewhere in life. So the world scratches their head and said, I just don't understand it. I don't understand it. I know that person. I know their past. I know where they came from. I just don't understand how they're walking in the power of God and the blessings of God. But we see it all through this sanctuary. Go on, praise God. We see it all through the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because this nation was founded upon the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our lawmakers have removed prayer from our public school system. They can't take it out of the home. They removed the Bible, but they can't take it out of the home. They removed the Ten Commandments from the courthouses and from the public squares, but they can't take them out of the home. They haven't taken them out of the church. We still teach them here. Hallelujah. They passed laws to kill little innocent babies through legalized abortion, redefined marriage, But the nation began with the assertion of God's authority. And now we've got people that are supposed to be our leaders that are mocking what the nation was founded upon and trying to remove all references to God from the public squares. They're teaching all of this ungodly garbage, I'm just going to say it like it, in our schools. And guess what? They're using our tax dollars to do it. We, the people of the United States of America, in order to form a more perfect union, establish liberty. See, we're the people that run the show, not those power-hungry politicians up there. The vote, I think the vote got stolen the last time. Well, matter of fact, the whole world knows it got stolen. It got stolen because how can you never campaign, sit in the basement, a mask on, and win any election? You know, the dead voted. They got votes. They still got some votes if they need anymore. They just go open another box of them. And they got away with it because our United States Supreme Court would not stand up the way they should have with the spine that our forefathers had and put things back in order. And now it's going to have to happen on the individual state level. But guess what? The governors of every state, they're rising up and they're going to put some things in order. And praise God, God's people are going to pray. This prayer movement is taking place in Lebanon, Kansas. They coming from the north, south, east, and west, from mid state in the south, from the mid part of it in the north, and they gonna converge upon a little cornfield in Lebanon, Kansas, July the 26th, and we're gonna pray. What are we gonna pray for? We're gonna pray that God will bless America again. From sea to shining sea, we're coming from all over. We are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not some victim. We are the victors. Hallelujah. My Bible said, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. Go on and praise Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I told my wife, I said, I'll never finish this message, but... The current administration, let me tell you what they're doing. Promoting racism. Defund the police. How ignorant can you get? Man, I need somebody to help me. I'm a Marine and I'm armed and I'm ready. But let me tell you, my whole body's a weapon. That's what I tell people. I say, don't mess with me. My whole body's a weapon. Woo! Glory. And I got the Holy Ghost and fire. And I'm fired up and I'm ready. And I'm armed too. Hallelujah. We got people trying to redefine everything. Promoting defund the police. Open borders. The Bible believes in borders. The Bible believes in walls. Trump had it right. He did. He said build the walls. They said you can't, you need technology. No, build the walls. The walls sure kept them out, didn't they? They stopped building the wall. Now they're coming in by droves. How ignorant can you be? God believes in walls. I went to Jerusalem. There are 12 gates that lead in behind those walls there. When the new Jerusalem comes down, it's going to have 12 gates. It's going to have walls. Hallelujah. Because God believes in walls. God believes in separation. God does. He says, separate yourself unto me, a sanctified, pure, holy people, that I can raise a nation up out of you, and I can bless that nation, because there's a church there that believes in the blood and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I think we ought to get radical. I'm 76 years young, but if they told me we need you to lead a charge that this nation depends upon it, guess what? I'd get me a bunch of Vietnam veterans, Brother Donnie over there from Korea, and we'd charge and we would just stand and we would win. We've always won. We will always win as long as we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I'm not afraid to live. I'm not afraid to die. And we need some Americans like that, that will stand up. Whether I live unto the Lord. Whether I die, I die unto the Lord. Whether I live or whether I die, I'm the Lord. And God's hand is on this nation and God's hand is upon the people of this nation, because nations are made up of people. My Lord. They want to degrade people. I get angry when I think about it. They want to degrade people to where they have total dependence upon a government structure and not upon their ability to be men and women, to raise their men, to go out and work, and to get off the welfare roll and get on the payroll. Woo! Hallelujah. I don't want to be on somebody's welfare roll. I want to be on the payroll. Hallelujah. I don't want the government to determine where I can live in life. I want to determine that if I work, slave. Yeah, I was purchasing manager at the Bridgestone plant. I started my own business. I read it said, 6 days shall thy labor do all thy work. A little bright light went on in my brain. I said, dear Lord, the American dream is to work 5 days. I'm only working 40 hours a week. So I started a business, put that other time in that, burnt the midnight oil, and boom, all of a sudden prosperity just showed up. I preach. I'm supposed to be retired. How do you quit this thing? I love the Word of God. I love God's people. I love my Bible. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I can. I got an I can attitude. I can do it. Miracles come in cans, hallelujah. And if you believe you can, you can. And if you believe you can't, you can. Get a can-do attitude, hallelujah. And it'll change your life forever. Miracles come in cans. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Hallelujah. I'll just read you some of what our founding fathers understood and cherished in their relationship with God. Patrick Henry stated, it cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not by religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. We shall not fight alone. God presides over the destinies of nations. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for founding fathers that had a comprehension of the power of the Word of God? Daniel Webster gave us our dictionary. But listen to this. Daniel Webster, who served as Secretary of State under President Hardison and Tyler and Fillmore. He served under three presidents. And I quote him, if the power of the gospel is not felt throughout the length and breadth of this land, anarchy and misrule, degradation and misery, corruption and darkness will reign without mitigation or end. End of quote. That's what this thing is all about in America. It's about two platforms. Not about two people. Not about two parties. It's about the platform of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ or the platform of ungodliness, sin, slavery to sin, failure. Oh my, devil, defeat, damn, doomed. I look at those D words and I think about Jesus. He's the light of the world. We got Zoe. We got the life of God in us. Hallelujah. I love the word. Daniel Webster, a great leader, he said, in other words, if God's people do not remain committed to affect our social and political cultures with the gospel, our nation will not last. That's what he was saying. Our nation's in trouble. We got to return. William Penn, the founder of Pennsylvania, warned, if we will not be governed by God, we must be governed by tyrants. End of quote. I mean, these men, they knew what they were talking about. That's not some Johnny come lately that said, let me tell you about socialism and let me tell you how to redefine history. No, they were making history. That's what people do. They make history. I look back at my generation and I think about, and I took out my pictures and what I saved from Vietnam, and I'm looking at my buddies, and they didn't like us when we come home. They didn't give us a welcome. Wouldn't give us a job. Wouldn't let you in a college of your choice. But I just kept trying and I kept trying and I kept trying. Hallelujah. I got in and I graduated at the top of my class. It wasn't I wasn't qualified. It was just the stigma of Vietnam that was attached to me and my friends and my buddies. I want every Vietnam veteran in here to stand up. Brother Korea, stand up. Anybody that served in the war, I want you to stand up. Look at these. Look at them. We got Marine Corps, Air Force, Army, Marine Corps. And Joey Tedder's not in here right now, United States Navy. Give all these men a great big hand. We got people in this church that served, hallelujah. And they've got the traumas of war and things to live with. People, I tell them, I said, I had post-traumatic syndrome for 17 years, but Jesus healed me. One of my brothers told me, said, you still got it. Well, you fire a weapon and I'll jump out of my skin. I mean, I do have reaction, you know, but I'm healed. And that is my testimony for Jesus Christ. I'll tell you something. The dog was glad when I got saved. I guarantee you that. There's been a change in this life of mine since the Lord laid his hands on me. There's been a change in this life of mine since the Lord laid his hands on me. The place I used to go, I don't go no more since the Lord laid his hands on me. The things I used to do, I don't do no more since the Lord laid his hands on me. There's been a change. Have you been changed? If you didn't come to the altar in this life of mine, there's power in the blood since the Lord laid his hands on me. There's been a change, a great, 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 wonderful change. Oh, I got peace, I got joy, I got righteousness, I feel good, I sleep like a baby. My wife said, I've never seen anybody that could go to sleep as quick as you can. I said, just stop me and put me in a quiet place, and I'll go right on to sleep, I promise you. I got the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Tell your neighbor, I got joy unspeakable that's full of glory. I got Jesus in my heart. My name's on the roll, and I'm headed to heaven. Hallelujah. My Lord. Christianity is a way of life. And a nation that embraces Christianity, that nation prospers. You know, I've studied nations. There has never been a copyright law required in any nation until the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ was preached there. And when the gospel was preached, Christ in you, the hope of glory, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. You're the temple of the living God. As God has said, I'll walk in them, I'll dwell in them, I'll be their God, and they'll be my people. He said, I'm going to come and live in you. In John 17, Jesus is praying his high priestly prayer. He says, Father, I and thou, and thou and me, that they, that's the harvest, may be one in us. And my Lord, see, no nation has needed a copyright law until the gospel. And once the gospel comes in, the creativity of God comes in. The industrial revolution that took place in America, the gospel preceded it. And that's why this nation has done what it's done. I worked in the business world with people from Japan, Japanese, and we would design stuff and they would come back and, and they just taking it and they perfecting it. If you look at their doors, they just uniform everywhere. We did a project I worked on with the engineers, and I saw in my mindset, I can take those principles and those cylinders and those cables and take this to another application in the plant, and we can do the same thing, eliminate manpower and automate this thing. And I went to the Japanese drawer day. I said, if you would do this, no can do. You Americans do, and then we fix. That was a gear that was made overseas in one of our plants, and it was broken. So they took it to the Japanese. They said, I want one just like this, exactly like this. There was a language barrier. Oh, you see, yeah, okay. Can you make that? Can do. So they finally got the part machined out. They go to pick it up, and there was one half here. And one half there, the gear was a perfect replica of the broken one. Oh, no, we want it all together. See, they can match anything but they cannot create anything because creativity comes out of the heart of God. And what I'm telling you is you're in the greatest nation on planet Earth. And because of that, somewhere in your lineage, someone has heard the gospel. And in your DNA right now, whether you realize it or not, whether you're born again or whether you aren't, that DNA has spiritual DNA in it. God is a generational God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. He said, I will pour water upon him that's thirsty, floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessings upon your seed. I saw that. I said, my children are blessed. No wonder I was blessed. Living in sin, God was blessing me. I was riding off mother and daddy's blessings. And some of you today, you may be riding off mama and daddy's blessings. My daughter, our baby, we taught her to tithe, the youngest one. She called me one day. Well, actually, I called her. She sent her tithe to Westmoreland from the Smoky Mountains. She does that every month. I said, what forced you to do that? She said, Daddy, I have watched God's blessings upon your life all my life. And I realize I'm riding off your blessings, and I want to get my very own. Her sister, Jennifer, that attends here, they and my daughter, Jessica, they weren't living for the Lord. My son, he was going to church, but they weren't. And they still not where I want them, but they still going to church, hallelujah. They believe in the gospel. I asked him one day, I said, why don't y'all serve God? I said, you don't have any bad habits. None of you drink anymore, neither one of you. You don't smoke anymore. I said, you love your family. You love your husband. You're not running around. You're not going to the parties, getting drunk. You're not out there in the world. You got a home. You got a family. Why don't you serve the Lord Jesus Christ? And they both agreed and told me, said, Daddy, there's just too many hypocrites in the church. I said, well, there are some hypocrites in the church. I said, but there are a lot of good folk in the church, too. And the Lord gave me a word of knowledge. See, I got creativity inside of me. I got the mind of Christ. I'm not smart enough to think this up. I said, there are hypocrites in the church. But why don't you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why would you want to spend eternity with hypocrites in hell when you can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, have the more abundant life here on earth, and spend eternity in heaven? Perhaps you're watching today by live stream. You've never been saved. Being saved is as easy as ABC when the Spirit speaks to you. And I know if I'm preaching, I know he's been talking to you if you're watching. If you're in this church, I didn't choose to do this. He called me to do it. And salvation is as easy as ABC. Admit that you are a sinner. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. C, confess your sins and your need of salvation. And D, don't put it off. Today is the day of salvation. Pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I acknowledge my sin. I was born in sin, Lord, and I need a Savior. I believe you're the Savior of the entire world. I believe you took my place on the cross. I believe you were my substitute. And Lord, I receive you. Come into my heart. Wash my sins away. Thank you, Lord, that I am saved. And if you need healing, we see great miracles here. Anyone in this church, the Bible says he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. And I love this. It says, let them offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. In other words, before it ever shows up, say, Lord, I thank you that you've saved me. I thank you I'm being saved. I thank you you've sanctified me and delivered me from those habits. I'm being sanctified. I'm being delivered. I thank you for filling me with the Holy Ghost. And Lord, that you're continuing to fill me with the Spirit. I'm being filled. And Lord, I thank you that you created me. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And that I have your life in me. And when I face sickness and disease, there's a force working in me, the law of the Spirit of life. And I'm being healed. I'm on my way to the promised land. I am what God said I am. I have what God said I have. I can do what God said I can do. Look at your neighbor and tell him, we're more than conquerors. Let us stand. Let us stand.
For he is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord.
What is faith?
He has risen.
Faith is somebody saying, Pastor, I need some anointed cloths. I want you to preach with them on you. Brother, I join my faith with your faith. For whoever gets these, we as a church, we agree with you that the healing power of God, the miracle working grace of the Lord Jesus Christ shall flow into these bodies.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' mighty name. He is Lord. Hallelujah. Glory.
For he is Lord. He is Lord. And he has risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus.
Just thank him right now. While you're singing that, as Pastor Rick is leading, say, thank you, Lord. You saved me. You're my Lord.
For you're my Lord.
He's my Lord. Glory.
He's my Lord.
Anyone need special prayer?